You're listening to Robert Kelly's
You Know What, Dude?
On the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Hey, it's Colin Quinn. I want you to come see Unconstitutional, even though you don't want to. Follow me on Twitter for the information.
Give the Twitter, dummy.
Oh, sorry, guys. Hi, this is Colin Quinn. I want you to come see Unconstitutional, even though we all know you don't want to, but it's very good for you. And follow me on Twitter. I am Colin Quinn. And then you can, you know, get all the information from my big show.
Awesome. Make sure you guys do that. Follow Colin Quinn. I am at, what?
I am Colin Quinn.
I am Colin Quinn on Twitter. Find out the show is his third one-man show that's coming out. They're unbelievable. I've seen his last one 3 times. I can't wait to see this one. So make sure you follow him on Twitter to find out where it's playing. It's a limited run. It's in New York. So if you're in the New York area, Jersey, even Pennsylvania, Connecticut, get your asses down here. Get the tickets as soon as you see him on his Twitter. Buy those suckers. Get down and see the show. Thanks, guys. Okay, so here you go. This is the intro for a one-on-one Thursday episode of the You Know What Dude podcast with my great friend, one of my best friends, if not best friend, Colin Quinn, one of the nicest guys in the business, one of the funniest guys and truest people I know. I love having him on. I could talk to Colin forever. He's just that guy. He knows everything about everything, and he's funny, and he's interesting, and why he doesn't have his own podcast, or if anybody should be doing this, it should be him, and he's the only one not doing it, and that's what probably still makes him even fucking better, is that he refuses to do a podcast. Believe me, I tried to get him to do one. You all know that we did one back in the day before podcasts were podcasts. And now, you know, I'm lucky enough to have him come in every once in a while and shoot the shit with me. So this podcast is just me and Colin. I hope you like it. It's a one-on-one. This is the Thursday series I've been doing. It's around an hour or so. Enjoy. Let me know, YKWD at riotcast.com, if you're digging these one-on-ones. I can't do them every Thursday because I just don't have time, but I do them when I can. And the reason why I'm able to do these podcasts more often than not lately is because of the technology has kind of caught up with it. So now I can carry these Edutage microphones with me with a splitter and, you know, put a lav on somebody, put a lav on me, and we can record wherever. I can record fucking driving a car. I can, you know, be on a roller coaster and do a podcast. It doesn't matter. My iPhone, Edutage microphones, and the new recording apps that came out for the iPhone 5 are amazing. So that's it. So I appreciate you listening. Thank you for spreading the word. Make sure you email me and let me know what's going on. Subscribe and review on iTunes. Blah, 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 blah. Later.
Hey, gang. This is Colin Quinn.
This is Jim Norton.
This is Dennis Leary.
This is Opie from a lot of things.
This is Bert Kreischer.
Stan Cook, and you are listening to Robert Kelly's You Know What, Dude?
You Know What, Dude?
You Know What, Dude?
Ippy bippy baya, ippy bippy boo. Dippy dippy daya, yabba dabba doo.
Dude!
This is Robert Kelly's You Know What, Dude?
You Know What, Dude?
So what's up, man? How you doing?
Good.
Welcome to the new. It's a new show.
Right.
Little one on ones.
The one on ones. The one. It's like the basement tapes of your show.
Well, you know what? I've been putting out Thursday shows.
Right.
Because people wanted me to do it more than one day a week, which is kind of ridiculous request when you think about it. I give a 2-hour free show once a week.
Right.
All I ask for is you go to Amazon and use my link.
Yeah.
Or get a pair of headphones for 33% off at tweakedaudio.com.
Nice.
Like that little slip in there I got.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people have been... It's fucking weird. A lot of... I don't know. I like doing these. You know I like doing these. Especially, me and you used to do them all the time. I like being on one-on-one.
Yes.
But I started filling the room, and you kind of get addicted to it.
Yeah. I can understand that. You can relax more. You don't have to think. You don't have to. We can just throw in things once in a while. Take it 20 minutes off. Let other people riff.
You just got to steer.
Yeah.
But you know what's, you know what does happen is that you have to. What does suck is that people talk over the other. You know, nobody knows how to fucking do radio. You know, people just yap over each other. You can hear it in the room, but you forget the dude listening in a truck or wherever the fuck you are in a cube.
Right.
It's like, what the fuck? It gets annoying. I got a lot of complaints about that. And I try to tell people to shut the fuck up, but then people complain about me telling people to shut the fuck up. And then once you start that ball of complaint, even though it's just one dude or fucking maybe a couple people out of thousands, you get fucked up in your head.
But what you're saying, you're describing tough crowd. When I ran tough crowd every day, and this is on TV, I'm going, shut up. Shut up and let him finish. Of course, I was always talking to Patrice. Because Patrice, as it, and nobody indulged Patrice or loved it more than me, but Patrice is a guy where you can't do a half-hour show with commercials unless you just want to have Patrice. It has to be Patrice by himself. You know what I mean? Yeah. Patrice had to be the only voice. And justifiably, all these comedians would complain. We go on that show, we don't like it because that Patrice O'Neill dominates the... Wow. He just lit up this whole studio. But you couldn't help it. Patrice is the kind of guy that once you get into his vibe,
yeah,
he grows on you to the point where you're like, okay, I know how long this takes. I get used to it. And you're like, I know at the beginning, I'm going to think he's going this way, and it's not that interesting.
Yeah.
Halfway through, I'm going to go, oh, my God, this is really interesting. He's going this way. And then at the end, it's going a whole other way. That's really funny and interesting. So I got into that. Unfortunately, I was a fan. I was supposed to be the host of the show.
Yeah. He is one of those guys. Yeah. I mean, you know what's weird is they always put me on with him. And I know it was because of something. You understand? I was never not on a show with Patrice.
Really?
Yeah, they always put me on with Patrice. Like, somebody said, look, Bobby does better when he's on, you know, some shit. If we're going to put him on, let's put him on with Patrice because, you know, something like that happened.
Yeah.
Because that's usually some fucking network dude.
That they make these decisions just to justify themselves, exactly those kind of statements. Like, Bob does better with Patrice. Patrice is more comfortable with Bobby on the show. They just make those decisions, and then that becomes a fact.
That's it. That's it. And so, and then they go on, and then you'll ask them 10 years, why did you have Bobby? I don't know. Did I right. say that? Right. Yeah, you did, you fuck.
Yeah.
You did, you fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I fucking hate it. I hate that shit. I really do. Justifying your job.
Yeah, but that's...
There's nothing you can do. Nothing.
Nothing you can do about it.
No. There's nothing you can do.
No.
Just like there was nothing you could do about working with Dan Soto this weekend.
No, yeah, I worked with Dan.
You loved it.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Dan is just one of those guys that's, you know, he's almost, he almost is like Ted Bundy in that he's the perfect person, you know, on the outside. And you're like, wow, what the hell is this? You know, what's going on?
But this is what he does too, is he lets you in that there is stuff wrong with him, even though... I doubt that he really believes it. I think therapy is a sham. I think it's a cover-up that he lets you in a little bit. Like, yeah, I have that problem too, or I'm doing that too. And you're like, oh, he's just like me, but you're not.
No, you're Dan Soder.
Yeah.
First of all, he's going to end up like that guy that stabbed the therapist to death. He stabbed the wrong one, you know.
Who?
That guy in the Upper West Side, like last year, they just had his trial recently. He went in to kill his therapist.
Really?
And the other poor therapist in the office tried to stop him, goes, hey, man. Or the therapist wasn't there, but went like, hey, you know, you got to calm down. And he killed that therapist instead.
Really?
Bloody, with a knife.
Just wow.
Nice Upper West Side building. But I guess apparently not a doorman. Or the doorman was like, hey, guys, good luck. I see a psycho with a knife. I'm diving under.
Yeah.
Don't pay me that much.
Apparently he didn't work on scale either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Those guys are just fucking upstairs from a subway. You have to take a window. You have to get to my therapist, you have to go in the window.
You do?
No, I'm kidding.
Well, they have those side doors sometimes, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely a shitty... There's a massage thing above him.
What?
You heard me.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's legit though. I've been 4 times. I'm one stamp away from getting a free massage.
You're like, maybe he sets it up there as a test. He's like, hey, I want to find out how sick my clients are. Then he goes and asks him, have you seen this face?
I'm completely honest with him. I've told him every stupid thing. I never ever not tell him anything.
Good, but or else were you wasting your money?
Are you wasting your time?
Yeah.
You know, it's there's been times where I'm like, I'm not telling him this. I'm not. There's no need. He needs to know this.
Yeah.
I'm just going to, I got it. That's fucked up thinking.
Yeah.
Where you're like, I got this. I know I fucked up.
Yeah.
I know what I did. I fucked up.
Right.
I got this. I don't need to tell him. I know what he's going to say. But it's the, when you get in there, all of a sudden it's like, no, you have to tell. You have to be 100% honest with this human being, because if not, it's that little dark secret you have, and then the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and all of a sudden I'm going to be doing terrible shit.
Yeah.
I don't know if that You're makes right. sense. Yeah.
Of course. It makes total sense.
Yeah.
But but Dan Soder, we had a blast driving up and back.
Yeah.
I mean, he really is he's a real gentleman. Let's face it. Everybody, if people don't like Dan Soder, there's probably something weird. Who else is a side to Dan that they only get to see? Like Ted Bundy.
Yeah, he is, man. He's got that. But he laughs. He laughs at your jokes and makes you feel like you're the funniest guy on the planet.
Right.
His laugh is what I think gets him ahead in the business. Were you ever that guy? Were you ever the guy that everybody loved on the other side of the business?
On what side of the business?
The industry.
No. I was always, the comedians loved me. The comedians kept me in this business my whole career.
Really?
Yeah, but the industry was never really a fan of me.
That's fucked.
I'm sorry.
Because I was always the guy that, for some reason, whenever I deal with industry, I rub them the wrong way. But I always got along with all the comedy. They liked me because all the comedians liked me. But I just, there was just not a, for some reason, we didn't click, me and the industry people. You know? Some of them I got along really good with. But as a general rule, it was always like a weird vibe I felt, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what it is though. There's a certain person, they're a certain type of person. Is it a? I don't know. They like sports, or they like certain teams. They know stats. I don't.
Yes, I know.
College. Right, I don't. Right. They like khakis on weekends, or boats, or fucking.
Right.
You know. Beer, like. You know, home-brewed beer. I don't know what the fuck it is.
I know what you're saying.
There's something that I don't have.
Right.
I can't connect. I connect to you. I connect right. to a guy like you.
Right.
I connect to a guy like Norton.
Right.
But there's these certain industry sides that it's like, you know, I don't know. I just don't connect.
No, I know what you're saying.
That's why, like, you know, I don't know. There's certain guys, I see these guys talking to these people, and I always want, hey.
Yeah.
That's it.
Now, that's all you should say, honestly. That's all you should say to them.
Really?
Yeah. You can't be talking to these people. You know what I mean? Like you said, I'll tell you exactly, a perfect example is when, I think it was Noam, who we all know from the podcast.
Who is that?
Noam.
What does he do? Oh, okay. I know who you're talking about. Go ahead. I'm sorry. The owner of the Comedy Store.
I'm saying he's a perfect example of a guy, not that he's an industry guy, he's a great guy, but... And some industry people. But anyway, he's the kind of guy, he goes to Bob one day, we're sitting there, and he goes to Bobby, hey, you know, I went to Tufts in Medford. And Bob goes, yeah, we used to beat the shit out of kids and rob them from Tufts. And I was saying, if you had said that to some industry kid who went to Tufts, he'd be like, oh, I think I remember, actually, the one uncomfortable, awkward time in my freshman year. I came home after a couple of my first beers, and... I was 19. I wasn't even sure I was going to be in showbiz. I was majoring in communications, though, and kind of excited. I went to see a local improv group, and I walked home, and you and two of your friends pulled over in the car.
Right.
They called me, hey, creep, and then next thing you know, I was on the ground being beaten. No cell phones back then, but, you know, my wallet was all scattered and shit, you know.
You know, what's funny, though, is I did say that to him, and one of his friends got his car pissed in. And I think, I don't know if I remember, but I think we used to do that, too. We used to put sand in like motorcycle gas tanks.
Oh no!
Yeah,
we
were just fucking, dickheads. Nobody told us, hey man, don't do that.
Hey man, that's somebody's property that they worked hard for.
Yeah, it's almost like, am I getting like the things that happen now when like when you get close on a show or something really right. your dream is right there and it gets snatched away. I'm like, is that because I lit the tough soccer poles on fire five times?
Right, five times.
Yeah, we lit them on fire so much they had to change them from wood to steel, and then we stole a car and we were driving through the field. We were going to actually instead of light them on fire, we're going to run them over, and at the last second, Michael Dotz grabbed the wheel and went no, and we bumped into a steel. We would have been fucking dead.
Can you imagine that?
What
they must have? It was, you guys did it so many times. They actually changed. They said, "You know what? Let's take soccer out of this. Let's have try rugby. Let's try rugby, or just go back to baseball." You know, we went to the college last night, Binghamton, which is a good school.
Yeah,
and it's so funny because you can tell a school that's no nonsense. These are the most like industrial dorms. Like, there's no beauty on the. There's no beauty in Binghamton anyway. It's one of those tough towns upstate. You know what I mean?
It's fucking you. And I mean, it's gotten a little better, but yeah, it's terrible.
And the school is like hardcore. You know what I mean? Like right. just a real. You do good. You work. It's like a real badass. It's just a badass drive. But then driving back, I was talking to Dan, and it's so funny. Like, not only do you know everything about sports and those kind of, I understand what you're saying. Some people just have all the information.
Yeah, they get the stats of life.
Well, you have stats on technical stuff.
Yeah, like the brand new Revo headphones are great.
The brand new Revo. And, but Dan has it on a lot of different stuff. And also, all these comedians, he starts talking about comedy to me. And I'm like, these guys, this generation is encyclopedic
of
with
comedy.
Their comic knowledge.
I had Michael Che on last week, and he knows everything about every comic.
It's a, isn't it scary?
Yeah, like they like I didn't know that they know everybody, and they know me. They know you. They know all. They know shit about us that we don't know.
I know,
and it's
weird.
I didn't give a fuck about anybody.
But also, we came from a time when it wasn't like YouTube. These guys have been YouTubing in high school.
I know.
I mean, who knows? Maybe we would have watched it, but who knows? But either way, I would have known every porn star. But they, but yeah, it's scary how much they know about us. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we should have maybe a big podcast where we sit down with Che and Dan are the perfect, great examples.
Yeah.
And go, we want you guys to erase all fucking knowledge you have out of us. Well, there's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Lose your fucking memory. Don't be going around telling people, oh, yeah, well, you know, I know these guys now personally, but really that's not what they said in 2007. Mind your goddamn business. Worry about something else besides what I fucking said on Tough Crowd in 2004.
I know, dude.
It's weird.
And it's getting worse because even the guys younger than them, there's even more info out there for them. It's even easier. There's so much
yeah.
more. There's, you know, 5 years ago, you couldn't get remote control, all the remote controls on iTunes. And you, I mean, remember Faces of Death?
Yes.
When you had to go get a creepy video, you had to go and see if that video right. store has it. Blockbuster wouldn't carry it because it was too crazy.
Right.
So you had to find that crazy local video store, and it was always out because some fucking lunatic like you
right.
had it.
I used to watch it all the time. I love Face of Death.
All you have to do is just... Face of Death is nothing now.
No.
I mean, nothing. You go to one of these sites, beheading sites or
yes.
whatever the fuck it is, it's like it's right there on your phone walking down the street.
Yeah. You see them pleading for their life. The yeah, it really is a weird time. How about you and we all have friends that send you, like you're in the middle of like anywhere, you know, an office or trying to be nice with your family, and suddenly there's like a tranny's cock like 2 inches away from me, goddamn self, and the rest of the family's like, they don't even have iPhones. They'd love a nice iPhone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They don't have iPhone. They have cheap fucking, right?
Well, my family does. Your family.
They all do?
Yeah, I'm from a better stock of
oh my God.
People.
Do you believe that? And they,
you guys are in Brooklyn.
You see a goddamn giant cock, and you're like, yeah. if my family saw this, they'd yeah. be horrified.
How about fucking DeRosa sends me naked pictures from his balls up all the time?
Oh.
I was talking to Esty at the bar, a really nice conversation. All of a sudden, my phone goes off, and it shows the little picture of yeah. what it is. What's that? And I don't know, and I click it, and it's that fucking Arab. So the last thing she wants to see is an Arab naked.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially one that she doesn't think funny enough to work the club.
Especially one that's alive. yeah, but it was kind of... there's something about driving to a gig and driving back from a gig. I mean, we used to have a blast. How much fun did we have driving to those gigs? Like Penn State that time, you know?
Well, I told Dan, I go, look, man, I go, watch out. Just watch your head. He's like, why? I go, just know this. I was driving down to Penn State with Colin, and he just wanted to feel his flesh punching me in the head. He saw my bald head, and he wanted to punch me in it. So he did. I go, he punched me in the side of the head, and I punched him in the leg so hard that he screamed and cried. He grabbed the steering wheel at 65 and grabbed it and pulled it. We almost fucking swerved up. I spit my coffee on the inner windshield and covered it. I had to stick my fucking swollen head out the window just to pull over so we could wipe the windshield off inside. And then we went for a snack. We went for food. We actually went shopping at a supermarket. Yeah.
I remember that, too. That was a blast.
Yeah.
We ate like beasts.
Yeah, we had Cheez-Its. I remember you got a box of fucking Cheez-Its. Oh, those were good.
Yes. What about, and that was but that's the beauty of gigs is like the bonding of two guys going to some gig.
Yep.
It's a long drive, it has to be more than 2 hours.
Oh, absolutely.
More than 2 hours where you know you got to drive and you got to drive back.
Yeah.
And then you really get to know each other. You really get to talk and know each other. And like you said, Dan, of course I don't know. I mean, you know, once somebody says they're from Colorado, then I kind of shut down. I'm like, they're not going to have any interesting thing to tell me, you know, because I just start picturing like a bleak landscape and. Yeah. You know, a couple of like planned communities.
Yeah, like a shitty bike.
Yeah.
Some like a Huffy that he has to take around to the local billiards.
Yeah.
Or the community center.
Yeah.
Like that movie Over the Top with Matt Dillon. Remember that movie?
No, I don't remember that.
You remember Over the Top?
No.
What a fucking movie, man.
What'd he play?
You know, remember when back in the day when they started bringing up those towns where everybody's house was the same?
Yeah, planned
communities. Planned communities, and they'd have the little town center.
Yeah.
And they'd have the school, and, you know, it was one of those towns, and these kids just fucking snapped. And they took it over and locked the parents in the school and lit the bus on fire, and fucking great movie. It's probably not as great now.
Right.
But it was, for me, being a fucking punk, it was like my movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, Matt Dillon was a great punk. You know, I know Matt Dillon, and he really has.
What do you mean you know him?
I mean, I know him as a person.
As a person or a friend? Do you have his number?
No, I wouldn't call him a friend, but he's friends with friends of mine. And so, like, if he sees me, he's like, Colin, how are you, man? Colin,
okay. Yeah.
Colin, how are you?
Right.
Hold on. Let me try to do Matt Dillon.
Okay, ready? I'm you.
Okay.
You guys, I'll give me two slices and a Diet Coke.
Colin, man, what's going on?
Hey!
Hey, what's up, man?
How you doing, man? How you doing?
Hey, man, relax. Take it down, man.
Okay, okay. All right.
You know
jeez.
I mean? There's a lot of people. I don't want everyone coming over and asking for autographs.
Does he do that?
No.
Oh.
I just started playing around with the Matt Dillon. No, he's a great guy. But
small.
But Matt, no, not small at all.
He's not as tall as you think he is.
Yeah, I think he's taller than me.
No, is he? No, he's not.
About 6 feet.
Is he?
I could be wrong, but who knows? But anyway, every time I see him, he's like, you know, he's just one of those guys that's done consistent, like every once in a while. Like, give us something about Mary. What's funnier than that?
Fucking great.
What's funnier than his performance?
He's great.
He stands up and he buckles his pants. They don't even mention it. At the beginning of the movie, he's sitting behind the desk. He stands up and just buckles his pants and starts talking. They don't even mention what he was doing.
I never even noticed that. And I'm going to have to go watch that.
He's behind the desk and he stands up and goes, well, let me tell you something. Whatever Ben Stiller's character's name was. And he just starts zipping up his pants.
I didn't remember that. I got to go watch
that
now.
So funny.
I like Matt Dillon, man. He was great. I mean, he was such a badass motherfucker. Yeah. You know what I was jealous of? His hair.
Oh, his whole thing, man. He's still a great look. He still looks great.
Yeah, but back then he had the hair.
Man, yeah.
It was that parted down the middle and feathered. It feathered back.
Yep.
And I could never do it because I had cowlicks in the front.
Yeah, I had a lot of cowlicks too.
And I remember one year my hair went curly. It went from straight to curly. And I was so, I had like a perm one summer.
Right.
Like my hair was long, but it was just tight, like a Brady. And I was like, I went from almost Matt Dillon to fucking Greg Brady in like a summer. And I was so fucking mad. And I remember my sister was, look at your hair. It's like you got to pay him. And I was like, you fucking cunt. my parents rented a, do you ever go on vacation with your family?
Sure.
Did you go on like a lake or where did you go?
Yeah, we went to Maine one time. Yeah. We went to Long Island to like a little, I remember one, the leprechaun colony.
What?
It was like a little, you know, it was like a little place out in Long Island somewhere. The leprechaun colony. We're like, ooh, leprechaun colony. Yeah, we went to my cousins. They lived up in Saratoga by the lake. We went there a couple of times.
Saratoga, New York?
Yeah.
With the horses?
Yeah, well, my cousin, you know, my cousin Dill, who's really still the funniest person ever, but he lived up there because he escaped. You know, he moved up there. They lived up there. They moved up there when they were little because my uncle, I guess he was a printer and he got a job as a printer in Saratoga. So the family moved up there from Brooklyn.
Right.
But they only moved up there for 2 years and he lost the job, came back to Brooklyn. Then Dylan borrowed money off this pretty famous mobster, I still don't want to say his name, even though he's long dead, you know?
And really?
Dylan borrowed money off the guy. He's not that famous.
Are you afraid that something might happen to you?
I'm afraid that his son might hear and get my cousin.
I'm honored that you think my podcast is popular enough where I might affect somebody's life.
You never know.
Well, I do know. I can show you the numbers.
I thought the numbers are great.
I'm kidding. Go ahead. I'm joking. What the fuck?
I'm like Bridges. I thought the numbers are great. So anyway, he borrowed the money off the guy and of course didn't pay him. You know, he's a gambler.
Right. Yeah.
And he just left town. He was like 19. He had to leave town. Right. So of course he goes back up to Saratoga where the horses are. The one place a mob guy would go. Out of the whole state, if there's one place a mob guy would leave New York City to go to, it would be to Saratoga. And he moves to a house behind the backstretch. And one of the greatest moments of Dylan's life was he had this setup. I don't know if I ever told you this, but he had this big guy working for him, this big upstate, like, you know, country boy.
Mm-hmm.
And Dylan was like the fast-talking guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the big guy would fix cars. And then Dill would sell him. And then one time Dill was out, I'm looking out the window, he's yelling at these three, like, Ecuadorian transvestites. They're arguing, and Dylan's screaming at them and screaming back at him while the big guy's trying to fix this car with a big brat. The guy has a back brace on, you know, from all the car work, his back was shattered. And just watching this guy on this, like, you know, nice, pleasant morning, watching this Brooklyn crazy man. And this guy fixing cars and three trannies, like, fighting. It was one of the best scenes ever.
They have trannies up there?
No, because they were with the...
With the guy, yeah.
Yeah, it was during racing seasons. They're with whoever the, you know...
Is he still up there?
I don't know why that makes it justifiable. No, they were with the racing. Oh, okay. Yeah, he's still up there.
Yeah, Ecuadorian trannies aren't the hottest, by the way.
Why?
What?
Phillies? Filipinos?
Filipinos, I would say Brazilian.
Yeah.
Thai...
Yeah,
Ecuadorian is like fucking that's like that's like apocalypto trannies, like little flat face trannies.
Oh, te calate, oh cale, oh te calapo. You fear me?
Is that real? Or are you making that up?
No, I'm just making up. Remember when a girl starts yelling
fucking
at
fucking one of the greatest, scariest, creepy things in a movie ever. How great was that movie? I mean, not one lick of fucking... You had to watch this shit with subtitles. I'm not a subtitle guy. The movie has to be really good to get me to fucking do that. Really good.
That I agree with you. That is the most underrated movie of all time.
Of all time.
It's so brilliant. Same thing.
It's an action movie.
And you can watch it... What kind of subtitle... I like subtitle movies, but guess what? If a subtitle movie's on after I saw it once, I'm not like, oh, I got to keep watching this. Every time it's on, I can't leave the screen.
I cannot not watch it.
Yeah.
It starts out.
It's like Goodfellas for indigenous tribes of the 1500s.
What do you want, a panther? What do you want, a panther?
Yeah. It's so brilliant.
It's so fucking great. And this lunatic... I mean, threw it all away because of his whatever the fucking religious beliefs.
Well, one interpretation. I would say that he was that he didn't throw it all away. He obviously, whatever he said, I'm saying he didn't do anything. What he said was offensive. But to have this guy be pushed aside, to have that brilliant movie be pushed aside because of what he said... It's a little too much, in my opinion.
Passion of the Christ.
Same Passion of Christ, yeah.
Oh my God. Not, I mean, of course, Apocalypto is, I would put way above it.
Oh, de Kalawa.
But.
Oh, that little girl. Why doesn't that little girl get an Oscar?
Well.
Anybody that wants to see, if you haven't seen Apocalypto, trust me, we're not just two guys telling you this. This movie is unbelievable. I mean, we are just two guys telling you that. I take that back.
Yeah, we actually are. Two guys in a fucking somebody else's bedroom.
Minding your business and telling you got to see. But that movie is so brilliant. And
here's the thing. If you don't get past the first 10 minutes of that movie, that's what happened to me. Is I was like, I'm not watching this. I'm not getting through. Oh, this is fucking, ugh. Subtitles, the fucking teaching of the fear and fuck off. And then once you get past that first 10 minutes, then you're like, oh my God, the first 10 minutes was so awesome.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But if you can't get past it, if you don't, the first time I watched that in length, I was like, what the, I couldn't stop. I wanted to watch it again.
Yeah.
Like Lonesome Dove, the first time I watched Lonesome Dove, I was like, I want to watch it again. It's a 6-hour epic.
It's amazing.
You know what I like about it is that they showed you how, I don't know how factual it was, but I would assume that it had, like, the way they made the pyramids, the way those workers worked, and with the bodies just thrown away. I mean, the sacrifices. I've been to Guatemala. I've been to Guatemala City covers all those pyramids. Like, if you were to dig under the houses and the buildings, there's pyramids there. Those wow. fucking pyramids. And I went to a site right in Guatemala City. It's right on some fucking street. It looks like a park. You go in, you pay a dollar, and they're slowly uncovering a temple. And it just happened. It's 2,000 years. You know, the dirt and the trees and the leaves fall and people die and things, and it covers and covers and covers. And then all of a sudden there's, you know, 20 feet of dirt on a huge, it'll be like covering this building, you know, 2,000 years from now, this building won't be here. Right. It'll be under dirt, and the new building will be on top of it or whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I went there and I was like, oh my God, and they were telling me this is where they probably sacrificed people and this is where the king was or the whatever the fucking Mayan.
Yeah.
It was pretty crazy. I picked up a knife off the ground, a obsidian knife.
Really?
Yeah, like they used to get, it's the lava rock. You know, it's a glass and they would chip it off and it just chips off into almost like a blade. And they would use that to cut the fruit, to cut into animal flesh and shit like that.
The lava rock does?
Yeah, obsidian. It's called obsidian.
Wow.
And they would use that for knives. You can walk around. I found a bowl in the ground. Like on I walked down this cliff near a tree and there's a piece of pottery sticking out of the ground from 1,000 years ago.
It's crazy. And you found it? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
So why did you bring it to somebody and have it priced? Appraised?
Well, here's the thing. It's not really worth any because it's little pieces. It's not the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, the knife.
I took I pocketed a bunch of the obsidian knives.
Right.
And a couple pieces of the clay pots as my little thing. And I was in the airport and I got food poisoning the night before. And I was shitting and pissing, you know, just fucking violently all night. And I was sweating and I was going through the customs and I had the shit on me in my pocket. And I was delusional.
Yeah.
I'm sweating and I'm like, they're going to stop me. They're going to pat me down. So the first chance I got, I just went to the bathroom. And there was a bathroom attendant in there, and I wrapped it in, and I'm throwing up, I'm shitting, I'm on the floor, and then I just said, fuck this, I don't want this on me. I wrapped it in toilet paper, and I threw it in the garbage, but he had just emptied the garbage, and these two TSA-type guys walk in the uniform, and I drop it in the garbage, and there was nothing in it, so you just heard clang.
Hilarious.
And I just was like, I'm going to jail. I'm dead. But I found it. If they found it, they would have been like, go fuck yourself. It's not a panther pot. You know what I mean?
Do you think, you ever heard of Montezuma?
That story was too long?
No.
A little bit?
No. Do you ever hear of Montezuma's Revenge?
Yes.
And you know what that is?
Yes.
What?
It's when you shit your pants, right?
But why?
Because, well, I didn't. You caught
because
me. You got
Montezuma.
Me. Are you happy? Are you fucking happy, though?
Because it's related to what you're saying. You had the most literal version of Montezuma's revenge ever. Montezuma was the king.
Yeah.
Of those Mayans or Incas or one of those, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when people that conquered him, whatever, destroyed his great civilization, they always get the shits, right? Mm-hmm. But you literally took... You defiled the property of that was probably Montezuma's pyramid.
Let's settle down in case people are listening. Remember your mob guy thing? Same thing with the government.
What do you think? They're going to think I'm crazy for this?
Well, who knows? What do you think? Do you think the mob guy's going to kill your cousin? You think Gotti? Was it Gotti?
No, I'm sorry.
See how nervous you got? I got it.
No, don't. Hey, no names. Remember in Raging Bull, in the middle of a fight, he goes, Joe said, hey, no names. Montezuma, literally, you defiled... Well, when you started picking up those objects,
yes.
That's why you got sick that night.
Maybe. I mean, it could be that I'm a fucking asshole and I tried to eat Guatemala like I was fucking on a Travel Channel show. I remember Jack Vaughn, you know, he was the head of Comedy Central Records at the time. He took me and I kept going, all right, what are we going to eat? He's like, I don't know, Bobby. He doesn't go there to eat. He goes there to see these beautiful places and go to the markets and, I mean, just travel through the fucking back roads of Guatemala, which is very dangerous at times and beautiful. Right. And, you know, it's very...
If any of you don't know Jack Vaughn, which is everybody in the world, right. He looks like a combination... He looks like the only way he would not get attacked is because you might think this guy's got to be a CIA agent.
Yeah.
He looks like he should be sitting in a meeting with Pat Dixon. They should both be in like Battle Creek, Michigan, at like in the middle of like a stupid boardroom at a Hilton Suites.
We actually came up with this great show idea that You know, at the beginning of the thing, they show me with tats and a knife and all that shit. And then it spins. And one guy's going to take the other, you know, the novice into the jungle and, you know, discover what, you know, outside of America is. And then, but it's him. And then he puts the hat on and he gets the whip. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he is totally, I mean, he knows, he was taught by Navy SEALs in high school how to get through roadblocks. Wow. Because he grew up in Guatemala. He lived there for 5 years.
Wow.
So his father survived 2 plane crashes and 7 assassination attempts.
Wow. What was he, an ambassador?
His father was, he worked for the United States government, I don't know, but in Guatemala for something. I don't know what it was, but yes, not an ambassador, but something
Jesus,
like that.
Jesus, I mean, Guatemala is one of those famous places.
Was crazy. When he lived there, he has some crazy, his father and him have crazy stories, and you're like, I can't believe it. I remember driving, at one point, I looked over, and I was so scared. Because the night before we're going to Guatemala, I read, don't go to Guatemala.
I talked to you that night.
Right. It said, don't go. On the website, the United States. Hey, right. If you're going to Guatemala, don't go if you don't have to.
Yeah,
I remember I ran. I got 2 money belts.
Right,
but I was too fat for a money belt because it goes under your stomach. So I had to pull it up out of my pants, up to my tits.
Right.
So everybody saw me getting the money out of the money belt, which defeated the purpose of the money belt. And I was so paranoid. I had 400 cash, which you don't need 400 in Guatemala. You can literally become the governor of a small town with 400 cash in Guatemala. I bring 400 cash because I'm going to buy things.
Right.
You know, I'm a tech guy. What am I going to get down there, right?
Oh.
So I go down there the first day there, we get in Antigua, and we get to this beautiful outdoor restaurant, and it's cobblestone streets. It's the same streets for the last fucking, you know, 400 years. The sun's setting. It's like the old, it's 400 years ago is what it is with tourists. You go into this restaurant and it's outdoors and I go up, I'm going to use the bathroom and I'm checking my money every 10 minutes because I'm so scared. Because Jack said to me, listen, man, they can steal your underwear at this place, the pickpockets. So be careful. So I check it in the toilet. I go downstairs. We eat. I'm like, you know, sauce. I eat, you know, what's the biggest plate you got? Yeah. Give me the combo plate. I want to try. Right. What? They don't fucking just eat, you fat gringo.
Yeah, right.
We leave. We're on the road. It's raining. We're in the jungle. There's a point where he looks at me. He goes, look, dude, for the next 15 minutes, if I say we're going, we're going. So just look at, man, this is a dangerous. This is when you were saying, could something happen here? Something could happen here. Oh. And then we wound up on Dead Dog Highway, and I was like, why is it called Dead Dog? And then dunk, 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 we run over a fucking dead dog. You know what I mean? And then I would go to get my money out of my money belt, gone. I left it on the toilet. I took $400, the money belt off to take a piss, and I left it on the toilet. So some Guatemalan dude found $400 in the bathroom.
Oh.
American.
Oh, my God. I'd like to go back and try to find that guy and see what happened. He might have become a new guy.
Yeah. I guarantee the restaurant has a new front door,
right,
name. yeah.
Do you ever think about doing shows like that, like traveling? I mean, my favorite, when we had a blast going to Japan, going to Iraq, I mean, we had a blast traveling. That was fun.
It was fun. It's flying on a plane with you is not fun.
No.
No, you're weird on a plane, dude. I wish I could almost do what you do on a plane.
Yeah, I go right to sleep.
It's fucking crazy. You go in, first of all, you're like homeless when you get to the airport. Like, you have a bag with a shirt sticking out of it. And, but you lack nothing. You have everything. You have, there's nothing, you, for some reason, you've got it, everything. It's like, there's no, I've been up for days. I have the best suitcase. I have a backpack that turns into a shoulder bag that has a battery in it. I have, and you just show the fuck up. I know you packed, the flight's at 6, you packed at fucking 4:58. I was at the airport 2 hours early. I'm at the gate with my fucking latte. I'm ready to go with a thing around my neck that has my passport and then my phone. And you show up with a shirt hanging out of a bag and a jacket on your shoulder and a hoodie. And you woke up an hour and a half, maybe an hour ago, and you made it. You're there. You get right the fuck on the plane. And whether it's 2 hours or 15 hours, you sit in that seat. You don't care what. You don't give a fuck if the seat goes all the way back. A brand new fucking sleeper seat from American Airlines. And it has a 14-inch plasma that has all the movies that had just came out. Iron Man 3. Just came out with private interviews to American Airline customers. And then, whatever you want for dinner, like anything, a personal pizza, but not even like a small, like a 14-inch pizza with sundaes. And you will fucking put that hood over your head, lie back, and go the fuck to sleep. And you wake up 40 minutes before we're landing. You got a smile on your dumb face. Yeah. And you're ready to go.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And but how about the? I would love to have traveled more. That's one of the biggest things I regret. You know, I was thinking about. You know, I always tell people a story of like.
Yeah.
You know, people always go, you know, you got banned from Afghanistan, Iraq, and the story is that, you know, I said something when they told me not to speak.
What do you mean?
You know, like I made jokes about the Afghani, the boy hunting type.
I don't really know I don't know the story. I've been told two different stories. One, this, and then you told me another story where you didn't know what happened yet. You thought it was a tell, and they just banded you by accident.
No, somebody else might have said that. But
so, all right, so it's you.
I never thought a tell, no.
All right, what was it?
There's two versions. One is the version that's, I said some things about, you know, the boy hunting, the habits, the proclivities of the Afghani guys to go and, you know, fuck young boys and, you know,
proclivities. Yeah. Go ahead.
To bang the young boys.
Thank you. And, remember who's listening. Me.
And the one story that makes sense on a certain level, because I did say things that they told me don't say that.
Right.
Because I just couldn't help it.
Yeah.
But the story that's probably closer to the truth is that the person that ran it, who will remain nameless since I think everybody listens to your podcast, the person that named it on my last trip with Nick DiPaolo and Bobby Kelly, the person that ran it was starting to aggravate us. So one night we're outside of a room and we start to talk shit about her. Bob, would you like to take it from here?
I mean, look. This lady is used to people who are grateful, who are there to help the troops, who are there for one mission and one mission only. To, you know, musicians or actors, or she's used to people who are there. You know, she's not used to self-centered, ball-busting, East Coast fucking shit dicks who only care about two things, eating and laughing. That's all we cared about. We show up and this poor heavy set woman had to put up with our shit. And she's very regimented, very military.
Yes.
Very military.
Yeah.
And we're not military guys. We don't like taking orders. And one of us didn't like taking orders, and especially from a big woman. Well, woman and then a big woman. One of us. There's three of us. There's three of us, right? So I remember we're on this bus, and she started day two fucking with me and Nick and busting balls a little bit, kind of fucking with us and saying shit. And we don't take to that either. Oh. We do that to each other. It's like when you fans, like one of you guys, will say something terrible on Twitter, right, and then we block you and you get mad. And it's like, oh, just kidding.
Right.
We don't like it from you. We only like it from each other.
Right.
She did some shit, and she was, you know, let's go, kind of talking to us strong. And we're out in front of her house. It was a beautiful night in actually Fuji, Japan.
Yes.
At the bottom of Mount Fuji. One of the most beautiful places in the world.
A beautiful night, too.
Yeah, we were there.
Soft wind, summer wind.
Unfucking believable. And we're sitting there trashing her. Like, you know, she fucking does this.
Trashing her.
Yeah, and then I looked up.
And meanwhile, no, but I'm the guy, like, I'm the guy trying to calm these guys down.
Yeah.
And I'm going, look. Guys, look at it from her perspective. She's this fat, lonely thing.
Oh, God.
I start talking about calling her fat, calling her lonely.
God.
I go, I know she's a fucking pain in the ass, but look at her. She's got nothing going. It was brutal.
And then I look up, and the I see the screen. There was no window. It was just screen. I can see the shiny glass was pushed up, and I point up, and just to the pussy I am, I went, the window's open, guys. And as soon as I said it, we all went, oh, shit. We all clammed up, and then we looked, and we saw two little fat feet coming down the stairs. We got busted. And it was like, we're all grown men. Yes. Sincerely, I'm the youngest of the group. I'm in my mid-30s.
Oh.
And we all got scared. Even DePaulo.
I don't know.
And then she comes out.
She comes out and confronts us.
Confronts us, but in a very, hey, listen, if I've stepped over any boundaries, I apologize. I'm just trying to do my job. I thought that maybe that's what you guys liked, and I was just trying to assimilate to make things easier, but I have a schedule, and my job is to make sure you get where you go, because these troops are important to me, and I know they're important to you.
Oh.
So I apologize, and it will not happen again.
Oh.
Then she steps back in, and before she shut the door opens back up, and she puts her head back out, and she goes, but next time you want to talk shit about somebody, don't do it under their open window.
Oh.
And then DePaulo goes, there goes that fucking apology.
Yes.
And I was like, God damn it.
Oh.
God damn it.
Oh.
God damn it.
I don't know how we go. So my second theory is how I got banned.
Yeah.
Is they probably might have been like, hey, you've worked with this guy. Was he a problem? Because he did this one thing. We don't know. And she was like, she did what I would have done under the circumstances.
Yeah.
Fuck him.
Right.
That cocksucker.
Yeah.
Tell him to go fuck him. So it could have been either one. Who knows?
Well, you know, look, she actually was cool. The second time I went back with you.
Right.
When we went to Iraq.
Yeah.
We had a way better time with her, I think. We didn't have any problems with her. I remember when
it's true. With Steve Burns, I mean?
Yeah, Steve Burns. Yeah, that was a fun trip.
Oh, it was a blast.
That was so good, man. And then, I went back with Dane. I remember when we were flying into Fallujah to drop off ammo. And I leaned over to you. I go, hey, man, you know how famous you are when they have you making a pit stop in the fucking Sunni Triangle with ammo on the plane. You think Bob Hope ever did that?
Oh, I remember that.
All right, listen. Yeah, we're gonna take Burt Reynolds down in the Sunni Triangle. Flares were shooting out of the plane.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't give a fuck about us, dude.
Oh, no.
No.
Remember when I turned to Steve Burns, they were shooting those things up. They thought there was like a... They said, if this goes off, that's going to happen to me and him in the front. And then it starts shooting off the things like something was...
Yeah.
And I go, Steve, and he looks at me. I go, Steve, at least I kind of made it. With you, we'll never know. He just looked at me like,
How's this, though? How's this is that they brought you guys up front, and she didn't bring me. Remember that?
Oh, no. Yeah, she switched off.
She would always leave me behind.
Oh.
I'm not even kidding, dude, and I'll be honest with you now. It hurt me so bad. It hurt me like it was the pain of my existence. Like, if I could say, what was the thing that pained you the most in your life? Not being picked by people that should pick me.
I like that.
And she...
I like that.
I remember when she came back.
And she probably knew it.
And she went, Colin, they were like, Colin, you want to come up front?
Yeah.
And she went, Steve... Because she loved... Because here's those people in life. Look, I love Steve. You know that. I have nothing bad about Steve. And yeah. Dan is one of those guys, too. And these guys that come up, and I call them neutrals. You know what I mean? Where everybody loves them. You know what I mean? You know, Dan is corporate Dan. Nobody's not going to like Dan until he fucking snaps.
Yeah.
And he's not like going to snap. Yeah, right. There's something about me... Well, Patrice said it. You're not... With Bruce Banner trying to be the Hulk. You're the Hulk trying to be Bruce Banner.
Well put.
Okay? Very well put. Just be the Hulk.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I remember she came back and she was like, Steve?
Oh.
And they just left me there. And I was so mad. I could have cried, Colin. I could cry right now thinking about it. Honest to God. I could, if I really sat and thought about it, I could tear up. Because I remember I was just sitting there by myself in that little fucking net seating in the C-130. And I've always wanted, but me and Colin are really good friends.
Right.
Like, he doesn't really know. Steve's here because Steve asked him, and Steve's brother's here.
Right.
I'm friends with this motherfucker.
Right.
But she liked Steve better than me.
She did.
Abso-fucking-lutely did. And I remember she picked him up there. And then I finally got my shot, I think, two more times later.
Right, right.
But it was like, Robert, do you want to go? Almost like, right. Do you want to go too?
Well, she was still probably mad from our last trip.
But I didn't do anything.
But wait a minute.
What?
No, you were talking shit too? What do you mean you didn't do anything?
In case she listened to this podcast and she doesn't remember who did what, right. I didn't do anything. It was all Nick DiPaolo.
It was all Nick. But we went on the Japan trip first, and then we went to Iraq.
We went to Japan first, which was awesome. It wasn't, look, how do you say this without fucking sounding? I love going to, supporting the troops anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll go to fucking Jersey. I don't give a shit. I'll go upstate New York. I've done it. But when we went to Iraq, it's something about your life being in danger, too, that makes it somehow like, okay, I'm really doing something now.
Well, that's how they call it, the theater. War of the theater.
But Japan was fun. I remember
beautiful.
The kid was on the bus with us, that Navy kid.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, interviewing or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember
he
was asking me, he was just talking for 2 hours straight, just about politics and,
yeah.
And I was like, do you believe in this? And
right.
You were quiet, you were typing on your little white Mac.
Yes.
Because you were always writing.
Right.
And then DiPaolo was writing in a notebook, trying to keep up with you. Well, if Quinn's writing, I gotta fucking write, cocksucker. I wanna take a nap, but this fucking asshole's setting the curve. Fucking sucker. And then, remember that kid? And then around an hour and a half in?
Yes, I remember exactly.
I go.
Bob's peppering him with questions. Bobby gets him like five in a row, blah, 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 blah. He goes like, blah, 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 blah. And the kid was like a kind of a young, maybe 19-year-old kind of pretty boy kid, you know? Kind of, you know. And then suddenly Bob goes, you ever suck a cock?
Out of nowhere.
And the kid goes, and what did he say?
No.
Right.
No, why would you ask that?
But he said no in a way that meant we took as a yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, have you? Do you want me to?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, man.
Paul was like, Jesus Christ.
I wish we could tour together again. What's he gonna go soon?
Yeah.
You got 5 more minutes?
Yeah.
What time are you gonna be out of here?
7:30.
I got you. I wish we could go on. That's one thing I hate is that we're all out spread out over the fucking world trying to, and we you know, I'm over here and you're over there and Norton's over there, and you know DiPaolo's over there. We're, you know, it would be great if we could just say fuck it. Let's just go. We'll do a theater. We'll split the fucking money.
Yeah.
Or whatever gives a fuck. Well, I mean, I don't know. It sucks that we have so much fun together on the road. There's nothing better than being in a hotel room with your other comic friends, getting breakfast, walking around the stupid town. Some of us getting noticed. Some of us not.
And there's nothing worse than when it's just you out by yourself. I mean, you get a little work done, I guess, but it's not the same. It's not fun. Like you said, that feeling when you're in your hotel room, but you know your friends are down the hall. It's like being a kid.
Yeah.
It's like being a kid again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the fucking best feeling knowing that you're going to wake up. Where you want to go? Go get some food. Get to sleep. Do the show. After the show, you go out somewhere.
Plus, knowing you only have to do about 25 minutes.
Oh.
No pressure.
There's no pressure. No anxiety.
You're not gonna do an hour.
It's sold out because we all fucking just put it together and and it's just it's beautiful. It sucks that we can't do that anymore. And there's so many people. Dude, why don't you guys just don't? We can't.
They say it all the time.
You can't. Everybody has different agents. Everybody has different bills, and everybody pulls different tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you sell good on the road?
In some towns. I'm no Jim Norton, but I do okay. What about Norton? Did I tell you that great Iraq story, right?
When he left at the end?
Oh! No, that was psychopathic.
Yeah, we'll explain it now. At the end, there were 2 weeks in Iraq in the theater.
We're in the theater.
At the beginning.
2003.
At the fucking beginning when it was real dangerous.
2003. We go there for 2 weeks. Me, him, Lori, come on. And at the end of the tour, we're all coming back, right? It's me, him, Lori, and maybe so we're all coming back, and we get to the airport after, you kind of bond, you're over there and a couple of weeks together or day and night constantly in the same rooms and the same, and we get off the plane, we go to get our bags, and then Norton's bag is on the other carousel. This is JFK, so he gets his bag, and then I see him walking. I start laughing because he was being funny. He takes his bag, you get up for 2 weeks, you're going to say goodbye. He takes his bag and just, while we're waiting for our bags, doesn't turn around and look at us, walks out towards the cars to get a car and go back to Manhattan. So I start laughing, that's funny. You know what I mean? He gets in the car and leaves. So then I was like, that's even funnier. This son of a bitch actually committed to fucking being the asshole that doesn't say goodbye after 2 weeks of bonding with people
in
a war zone.
Yeah.
And be on planes for hours together and all these different places and meet all these experiences. I go, that's fucking even funnier. The balls to pull that bullshit. To be that dick. I call him later. I go, hey, what's up? He's like, yeah. Or I saw him the next day and I was like, hey, fucking fun. He goes, what? I go, I realized he wasn't doing a character.
Yeah.
He was just being an asshole that didn't say goodbye to people that he just spent 2 weeks with.
I guarantee he had some massage showing up.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
But so what? He didn't even wave goodbye. If you have a massage, you go, guys, I'm so sorry. We'll catch up later or tomorrow or something. You know, just fucking turn your back on people and walk out.
It's fucking. What did he do over there? That's the my story. You told me what was the other thing that he did?
I don't know.
Original thing that you came up with.
Well, one thing he did. I don't know if this is what you mean, but
you brought up the story. You were like, no one did over there.
Well, on New Year's Eve one time, it was New Year's Eve. We were over there for New Year's. It was right. The thing I regret to this day is that Manny passed away during the time we were there.
Right.
But we couldn't cancel, But it was just
right.
I guess it was the end of 2003. And but Norton, New Year's Eve, I think we just found about Manny that day.
Uh-huh.
And she goes to us, Tracy.
Yeah.
She goes, look, guys, there's a little bit of a problem. There's been some, missile attacks, so there might not be a show tonight. We were supposed to do a show over there. We ended up doing the show, but she said, so there's a chance we might have to cancel a show. We're in these barracks. She goes, they're shooting missiles at the base, so for the troops to get over there could be a problem.
All right.
So I'm like, yeah, I get it. I'm the fucking headline, and nobody knows Norton at the time. Suddenly, a bee starts buzzing around, muttering to itself. It was like, I hear a buzzing sound. Like, I thought there was a bee loose in the fucking thing. There's nobody in the barracks except me, him, and Lori. Come on. And this, what's that sound? I see turning around and walking around in fucking circles, like a silent movie star, like when they speeded up the film. Walking around buzzing to himself, muttering, is this goddamn fucking tadpole? I go, what? I've never missed a New Year's show in 12 years. What? I've never missed a New Year's show. I've done a show every New Year's for 12 years. Oh, well, I'm glad we know what this trip is about. Your shitty record of fucking Jersey one night is on New Year's. Not the fucking possibility of giving a few laughs to guys that might die. So you can continue doing your shitty fucking Piscataway New Year's Eve show, cocksucker.
I swear to God, he is a prototype of a robot that it just doesn't, it doesn't have the full emotion chip, like the updated emotion chip. You know what I mean? Like, New Year's, we have to do show on New Year's. New Year's show,
Christ.
New Year's show.
Yeah. New Year, I didn't even know it was fucking New Year's. We're in Iraq. And it wasn't like a big New Year's party. It was like, hey, we're going to try to get a few troops into a little corner of a, you know, the palace that's not being used. And we ended up doing a show, and it was like a bunch of troops. I mean, it wasn't like a big thing, you know.
Well, so if one of us gets, we got to wrap this up. You got to go. But if one of us gets famous again, we have to go back to Iraq. We have to be, famous enough to supersede what's her name's.
I'm sure the ban is off by now.
Your ban's off?
I assume it's off.
Somebody at the USO, somebody in the Army, the Marines, the Air Force, the Navy, the Coast Guard. Let's go. Let's get me. Let's get me and Colin over there.
Yeah, the reunion tour.
The reunion tour. We'll get Steve Byrne. Maybe Steve Byrne's been twice. He goes on his own now. He's more famous than both of us.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah,
he
brings his
Vaughn.
He brings his He's famous. He's got his own show. Sullivan and Sons USO tour.
Sullivan and son of a bitch should be bringing us.
Yeah,
who's he bringing?
He's bringing his friends who he has on his show. He went and let all his friends on his show, which is a great thing. That's awesome.
What show?
Second season of Sullivan and Son.
But I'm saying, is it shoot L.A. or Chicago?
It shoots in L.A.
L.A.
Right. Yeah, L.A. What a good guy. Right?
Good guy.
We're in a fucking...
He left us high and dry.
especially Sullivan's. You know, you're Irish.
Probably like, you see these assholes. First time I went to Iraq with these two douchebags. Yeah. Believe me, it was a long time ago. I never liked them. Yeah, I never trusted them.
That's why I threw rocks all day into him. Remember that?
Yeah,
he just bugged me.
Oh, my God. He was a rock throwing machine.
Yeah, he just sat there because he loves baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was, he had a plan. He knew where he was going.
Right to Sullivan and Son.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, brother.
So check out Colin on.
I'm going to be doing my unconstitutional show. I'm trying to get a theater and try to start running it maybe next week.
No shit.
I'll find out Wednesday. It's only going to run for a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Maybe. Near the Cellar. There may be some competition for the Cellar in the Underground in a week when my show's up for 2 weeks on Barrow Street.
Okay.
But it's not official.
Okay, so how will we know?
On Twitter, yeah.
On Twitter.
I am Colin Quinn.
Everybody always follows me. If you don't follow him, he's probably one of the greatest guys to follow on Twitter. One of the funniest guys who literally captured the way you should do Twitter. And you can't do it because you just be hacking off him, which sucks. But he is I am Colin Quinn at I am Colin Quinn on Twitter.
Yes.
Follow him. Find out when his show is. He's amazing. You're one of my best friends. Thanks for coming on and doing this little one-on-one. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Bobby. I loved it.
Okay.
Love you.
Hang on.
Bye.
All right. Hey, what's up, fuckers? Make sure you go to my website, robertkellylive.com, and check out all my dates, my tour dates, at robertkellylive.com. It's a fucking fantastic little website for you. Comics Foxwoods, 27th, 28th, 29th. You Know What Dude podcast show. Luis Gomez, Kelly Festuca, myself will be there all weekend. We're doing a bunch of shows at the Foxwoods, the 27th, 28th, 29th. And then we're doing a nasty show on Saturday. So come down. Spread the word, Connecticut, Boston, Rhode Island. And we're going to be doing maybe a podcast at some point, either after one of the shows or before. We'll let you know as the date gets closer. And then I'm going to Just for Laughs for a long fucking time. A long fucking time. Holy shit fucking time. The 16th. Of July to the 28th. I don't even know if that's legal. So there you go. Go to my comedy fucking website for more information, bio, photos, love, whatever you want. Facebook, Twitter. Make sure you spread the word about the show. Come see us live. Support us live. It's always great when you, the YKWD fans, come up after the show and let us know that you were there. Yell out, dude, at the show. I'll know that's you. Or a fucking retarded person. So there you go. And go get my app on iTunes. Robert Kelly Live app. It has the podcast on it, all my dates, right in the palm of your hand. And it's award-winning. So check it out. Android It's coming soon. My developer, I think, I don't, he doesn't talk to me anymore, so I don't know what the fuck's going on. So, what the fuck are you going to do? But get the app if you have an iPhone. And get the Riotcast app if you have an iPhone. Get it all. It's all free. Free, 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 free. Fuck, it's free. God. So, there you go. So check it out. Make sure you go to tweakedaudio.com. Buy yourself a pair of headphones. In-air, mic, non-mic, wood grain, green, lime green, white, all kinds of colors, all kinds of styles. And they're great quality headphones for a cheap price. And get this, use the code word DUDE when you check out. You get another 33% off. That's right, 33% off. That's close to almost half. It's a lot, actually. And free shipping. So, make sure you go to tweakedaudio.com. Get yourself a few pairs of headphones. You don't just get one. It's not worth it. I think they wind up being 10 bucks a pair. I don't know what it is, but it's crazy. So buy a few. Give some away. Great gifts. Tweakedaudio.com. Code word DUDE. 33% off. Free shipping. Right now. And make sure you go to riotcast.com/Robert Kelly, the You Don't Know What Dude page on Riotcast, and there's an Amazon link and a Gamefly link. Anything you buy on the internet, you go through our Amazon link. That's how you support the show. Go to our page, bookmark it, and just buy shit. Just buy whatever the fuck you're going to buy, but you'll also be supporting the show. And gamefly.com/YKWD, 2 free weeks of awesome games shipped right to your house. It's the Netflix of video games. If you're a gamer, you should try it if you haven't already. So, you can cancel on any time, too. There you go. You can also donate to the show. If you go to our Riotcast page, YKWD, there's a donate button. I want to thank all you awesome, sexy motherfuckers who've donated. All that money has gone to helping out the studio, paying for things. It's just making the show better. So, we appreciate that. And make sure you go to riotcast.com and check out some of the most amazing podcasts out there. Riotcast.com, we pride ourselves on putting together the most unique, unbelievably funny, interesting podcasts on the internet. It's not just the same thing or the same feel or the same fucking taste over and over and over again. It's different shows, a bunch of different shows. We're all over the fucking charts. We got Bailey J, we got the Davey Mac Sports Show, Weird Medicine with Dr. Steve. We got Hammer Fisting with Louis J. Gomez. We got all kinds of stuff. We got Glory Hole Network. We got Why You Suck in Bed. I mean, holy caca, there's so much stuff. There's more. There's even more. We got Why My Wife Hates Me. I think that's what it's called. Anyways, go there. Go to riotcast.com. Jersey Jerks. Unbelievable shows. Unbelievable. And it's all free. That's right. Free. The only thing you can do is help out the shows by hitting their donate buttons or buying their merch at the top of the page. And spreading the word. That's all you have to do. Spread the word of the Riotcast Network in all of our shows. And well, that's all you have to do. And we'll make this. We'll keep this free. My Wife Hates Me, Jim Florentine, Weird Medicine, The Comedy Cellar, Live from The Comedy Cellar, The Glory Hole, Bailey J, Davey Mac Sports Program, Why You Suck in Bed, Mad Scientist Party Hour, The Jersey Jerks, and Hammer Fisting are the shows on the network. All hilarious, all free, and every week they're up there for your enjoyment. So make sure you go support them all. All of them. And get the app. iPad, iPhone, and Android is coming soon. Make sure you email us at ykwd@riotcast.com. You have anything you want to give us, props, you want to tell us some suggestions who to have on the show, blah, 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 ykwd@riotcast.com. I'm sitting in my underwear right now on my iPhone with my awesome mic that I got from Carl, and I'm doing this, so enjoy.
Don't stop filming my face. Don't stop filming my face. Don't stop